Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the EFL Fantasy Podcast. My name is Angus.
My name is Ben.
And we're coming to you to do a bit of a podcast ahead of Game Week 27. It's not really a Game Week 26 review because Game Week 26 was, you know, the start of last week, and there's been FA Cup games since then, and a Carabao Cup game for Middlesbrough since then, so it's, you know, it's all there's limited point in talking about that. So we will do a little bit of a look ahead to game week 27, primarily through answering your questions, but we'll cover a couple of things first. But first things first, Dan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Like I said, I've completely lost track of time.
Yeah,
I couldn't work out how long it had been since the last the game week. I just had a look at my team recently, and I know I got a red arrow, but yeah, I couldn't remember what transfers I made or anything. Yeah. But it's good to get back into it. Obviously, quite a key weekend just gone with the FA Cups, and we'll go through what that means throughout the pod.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a bit strange sort of thinking back to last game week, like you say. I guess I'll just dive straight into it. I had an interesting game week with the various sort of absences, where I ended up with 9 players. Spence was out. He's obviously been sent back to Tottenham. Leif Davis was out. Steve Cook was out. And Femewo was out. So my only playing defender was Kyle Walker-Peters. He got me 4 points. Started O'Leary in goal, got me 4 points. I'd captained Dewsbury Hall, who didn't show up. Vice-captain Somerville, which was 18. I bought Adozie, who didn't even make it to 30 minutes before getting injured. Mavadidi 10, Azaz 11, Whittaker 13. Armstrong became my captain from emergency for 22, and Rutter 2. So it's a red arrow from, I think it was about 160th to 195th. But when I factor in, you know, 9 players, one of which was a dozy, I'm actually sort of looking at it like, it's not too bad, really, all in all. So, you know, obviously it sounds bad sort of at that stage, but I'm sort of feeling like I've probably got a couple of issues to deal with, but given what happened, particularly with Dewsbury Hall not starting, you know, one playing defender, etc., feels like that could have gone a lot worse quite easily. So, yeah, not too sort of displeased at this point. How did your sort of game week go?
Yeah, so as I alluded, I got a red arrow as well. I got 87. I brought in Sammy Smodic and Fane Wu for Bellingham and Kesler Hayden. So that sort of worked. I vice captain Sammy Smodic. He got 15. Somerville got 24, who was my captain. Johansson 3. Cannon came off the bench for 1. Walker-Peters 4. Vestergaard 4. Mavadidi 10. Azaz 11, Rutter 2, Armstrong 11, Chaplin 2. And I think the key decision that's gone against me recently is keeping an Ipswich forward over Whittaker. It was a massive problem, really. It's a massive, massive swing. I'd probably be massively inside the top 100, whereas I'm currently 176. So, yeah. Who would have thought back in Ipswich would go against me this season?
Yeah. It's funny how these things work out. Not great game weeks, but you know, it's almost in some ways you because we've forgotten about it by the time the next one rolls around, it doesn't feel so bad. And you know, as everyone knows, it was my favourite sort of game week that wasn't even a game week for Gaffer at the weekend, which is the first thing we're going to talk about, which is the game week 29 blank caused by the FA Cup fixtures. So I should say I had to clarify this at the weekend when I was sort of talking about it, in terms of the certainty that the games were going to be postponed and weren't going to go into game week 30, which is this season. I think it's where possible. I don't think it's quite sort of set in stone, but it's where possible. They're trying to give 6 weeks' notice for a fixture move, which obviously moved the games into the next set. Now, technically, for example, there's two games that have gone into game week 33 from the blank: Ipswich, Rotherham, and
Southampton.
that sounds
Southampton
right.
Hull.
Southampton are playing Hull, so it would check out. I think it is that one. Technically, anything else that goes into that game week would now be less than 6 weeks. But I think it's sort of within that sort of almost margin for error. Some things have been slightly less than 6 weeks this season, but they try and get it as close to 6 weeks' notice as possible. So the fact that only two have gone in there and the others haven't doesn't mean that more won't go in there now. But it gives us a rough guideline of it. But it meant that it was guaranteed that they weren't going to stay in 29 or go into 30, which was obviously the relevant thing at the moment. So just to clarify where we are at as a result of that, which is we've got three games definitely on in game week 29. Those are Millwall Preston, QPR Huddersfield, and Sunderland Stoke. The remainder of the games are off, with the exception of one game, which is Birmingham against Middlesbrough, which is reliant on next week's replay between Birmingham and Hull. So depending on whether you want that game to blank or be included in 29, you can then decide based on that whether you're rooting for Birmingham or Hull in that game. So that's sort of what game week 29 currently looks like. I'm assuming a few more of the postponed games will go into game week 33. I think they're going to try and keep them together as much as possible. But it's left us in this situation, which obviously we've been talking about for a while over the blank. It is roughly in line with what I was predicting. I know Luke Irons put something out, and it was the three games that had a 50% or better likelihood of staying are the ones that have.
It's a very colourful spreadsheet.
So it's not necessarily a surprise, but it does sort of now give us a clearer picture of what will happen. I guess firstly, what are your thoughts just about what we've ended up with in 29?
I was looking through my team and I think I only have one player. And that is Cannon from QPR. So, first of all, I'm not massively set up to have it. I don't even have Jack Clarke, which is obviously the highly owned player that people will have. I do have one boost left. I think you're in a similar position. So, if there's not likely to be any more doubles now. It's looking like an underhaul strategy could be in play. I'm guessing you could build to maybe like seven or eight players or and then something like that if you wanted to, but any idea of what you're going to do, Angus, or
I'm probably going to underhaul. I know it's what a lot of
yeah.
people have decided they're going to do. It's something that I had actually built into my strategy a little while ago when I'd sort of identified how this game week would look. It was partially why I
Yeah.
ended up predicting how I thought it would go, because it enabled me to get a rough idea. I think it's an interesting one with people, particularly if they have one boost left, depending on what boosts they have and haven't played. Like, I know there are some people, for example, who haven't played Budget Buster. I would suggest that playing Budget Buster is more important than game week 29. Like,
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's a no-brainer for me. I think Follow the Leader is a little bit closer, because Follow the Leader, I mean, we've seen some disappointing results. I think both of us didn't necessarily have the best followed the leader game weeks. Some other people have had massive game weeks, so that I would still probably play that rather than underhauling. I think beyond that, with something like a Jeepers Keepers or a Midfield Dynamos, it depends how comfortable you are with being able to get to, say, like seven players for game week 29 and then playing that boost. So I think it becomes a bit more team dependent at that point, I think. But for me, I'm in a similar boat to you. I don't have Jack Clarke either, so it's sort of a bit of well, it pushes me in a particular direction, I guess, is the best way of putting it. But like I say, I had sort of accounted for this a bit, so I roughly knew what I was looking to do. That's obviously the main thing, in terms of, that people are thinking about. The other thing that's sort of kicked off is obviously it's the 10th of January, which means it's transfer window time. So I guess you can take this whichever way you want, Dan, whether it's just running through key transfers or just picking out some transfers that jumped out to you.
Think maybe just maybe two or three that I liked so far. Guessing the main one is Finneas, who has gone from Plymouth, who was on loan from Villa, and he's been brought for, I think it's just over 2 million by Middlesbrough.
Yeah, I think it's 2.5 in the end.
Yeah, something similar. I think that's the main one, especially with how cheap he is, what sort of player he is. Probably a player that Borough could use at this moment. So, yeah, we've seen him. He's becoming more and more important throughout the season, more of a asset. I've had him for 4 or 5 week game weeks now. He's done brilliant for me. So, if he continues that form for Middlesbrough, he's going to be a very, very good asset. I'm going to mention Sarmiento, who's gone from, well, he got recalled from Brighton. He's been at West Brom. He's gone on loan to Ipswich, which I think Ipswich will probably get more use out of Sarmiento. Corberan's a more structured sort of player, and I think Sarmiento probably needs to be a bit more of a maverick, and I think this Ipswich team will allow that. Obviously, because he's been priced as a West Brom asset, he's massively. I'm not saying he is expensive for an Ipswich maybe attacking player, but when you compare him to the rest of them, he's a good. I'm just trying to find his price. I've gone on to Ipswich and he's not there yet. He's 7.8 million, and where you can get Ipswich players for 6.5, I'm not sure he's going to be an asset in the game, but I think it could be a player that helps Ipswich maybe get promotion. And I'm going to mention Luke Ayling today. I know there's a joke. We don't think he's great defensively, and he's probably not. But if Borough use him similar to like Giles was being used last year, then we saw at the start of the season he was doing very well for bonus, and he was getting assists and goals. So yeah, I think that could be one of a interesting asset moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see, particularly with Ayling, because they have sort of tended to free up one of the fullbacks. But even going back to last season, it's more often than not been the one on the left. So it'd be interesting to see sort of how they adjust to that, because you would assume Ayling would be freed up to go forward. So what exactly they do with that will be interesting to see. Yeah, Azaz, obviously, we talked about. I think They've been crying out for a bit more of a chance creator, particularly more centrally. Like I know the likes of Jones and Greenwood can do it from slightly wider areas, but being able to cut through the middle like Matt Crooks has sort of, his positive traits as a player, but he's not really a creative force, shall we say. And I do think that Azaz can give them something extra from that sort of. I mean, I would assume he'll slot into the 10 position. They've already got too many options in central midfield, so and I think he'll do well for them there. A couple that I was going to highlight, one has happened obviously today. Fabio Carvalho on loan to Hull. So obviously for those people who were playing a couple of years ago, it's probably one of my best sort of picks. I picked him out like before the season, but he was playing obviously for Fulham in the 10 position. I think that's part of the reason he's struggled at Liverpool, is it's not really a position they play with in terms of a 10, which is definitely where he's best. I think he probably made a bit of a too big a move too early. Whether he's up to that quite that level or whether he could be, I don't know, but we've seen him be very good in the Championship, and I think in that whole team, they've been crying out for another sort of attacking player to take on some of the load. Like when Philogene was in the team, so much of it was get the ball to Philogene and he'll make something happen. And a lot of the time he did. But it's nice to have that secondary player who can take on some of that, particularly who's another high quality player. Like there's. There was talk about, I think really he's gone to Hull over particularly Southampton because of guaranteed minutes. And I think that's obviously something that Hull can offer in a way that Southampton probably couldn't. But he's all the reporting was he spoke to Rossinha and he was impressed. He spoke to Tyler Morton, who obviously he knew from Liverpool, was very impressed. I think he also spoke to Jean-Michel Seri, who he knew from Fulham. So I think it's a situation that he should be able to settle into quite quickly with players he knows and everything. So he also knows Cyrus Christie, but I'm not expecting to see much of Cyrus Christie. So, but I think that could be a really good move for them. Particularly, like I say, I think he'll play more. I think he'll play centrally, but just in terms of having another creative outlet in the attack. And I was just trying to think of the sort of other players that where it sort of happened, because I knew I had another one that I liked. Oh yeah, so there's two that I like. Both slightly lower key, but I think can actually make big differences for teams. One of them is Ashley Phillips to Plymouth. He's
Yeah,
obviously
that's
coming on
cool.
loan from Tottenham. I think they needed a little bit of help at the back. Not to say they were bad, but I think you just need that extra little bit at the back. And I think we saw him. Obviously, he didn't play a lot for Blackburn, but he did. Like you could see he had something about him, and obviously that's why Tottenham went and sort of got him. But I think. Him going on a loan to a team like Plymouth could actually be sort of beneficial for everyone, and so I think he could really help them. It's not necessarily going to make a huge difference for Gaffer, although I think, for example, if you have someone like a Conor Hazard, it might be a little bit better just improving that defence in front of him. And the other one, which won't be a Gaffer option really, is Lewis Travis on loan to Ipswich. I just think that's a really solid addition. I think they were sort of relying on Sam Morsy and Massimo Luongo to play a lot of games, particularly the stage of their careers they're at. And so getting in someone like Travis, who has that quality, but they won't lose anything in terms of that energy, that sort of the legs and the pressing in midfield is something that Lewis Travis can obviously offer. We've seen him do it for Blackburn. And so it's another one more from a football point of view than from a gaffer point of view, I think is actually a really handy addition for them.
So I'm just going to mention quickly, because I was looking at this, Daniel Everson's gone on loan to Stoke. I think was he at Preston?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm losing blank. Yeah, very good at Preston a few years ago, and I'm sure Jamie won't mind me saying this, anyone's better than Bonham. So, but yeah, they obviously lost Travis, who got recalled a couple of months ago, and to get a sensible, experienced championship goalie, I think that's a good signing from Stoke.
Yeah, I think that they were obviously unfortunate. They were left hanging a little bit by Travers getting recalled by Bournemouth, but I think they've acted quite quickly as well to get a like you say, a very solid goalkeeper in there. So I think that will be a real positive for them. And Leicester couldn't afford to keep five goalkeepers around, so it makes sense that a couple of them leave. Yeah, there's a couple of young players, but it's tough to know exactly how they'll slot in, like Alex Matos, who's gone on loan to Huddersfield, sort of Ben Chrisine, who's gone on loan to Blackburn. Obviously, you think with some of these players coming in from Premier League clubs, you'd hope that they would sort of be offering something extra, but a lot of them are unknown quantities. So I'm not going to sort of pretend to know much about them. But yeah, I think that sort of covers the main sort of transfer stuff. There's obviously going to be plenty that happens in the next 3 weeks. Even just judging by all the reporting so far, it sounds like quite a few teams want to be active. So
Yeah.
I think we'll see quite a lot of business sort of going on between now and the end of the window, from the top of the table to the bottom. Like there's, I think Leicester are about to sign a centre mid. All the way down to sort of Rotherham will do business. They've terminated the loans of Lemba Kiese and Onyedimma, so I would assume they're planning to do some sort of business there as well. So yeah, there will be plenty going on. But yeah, so we'll cover sort of any important transfer business that happens sort of, almost as and when it does happen. But the other thing that we're going to do sort of in this podcast, just as sort of a quick thing almost, is we're just going to run through your questions. Obviously with the break, it's sort of like we don't necessarily have a lot of talking points ready to go. The main focus for people, but it's on the 10th of January is sort of the FA Cup blank and the transfers. So other than that, it's sort of just going through the questions that you guys sort of want us to answer. So that's sort of the main thing for us. So without further ado, we'll just sort of dive right in. I'm expecting particular trends in there. First question we got is from Notrag. He said, "Happy New Year, chaps. Which gaffer assets or teams do you each think will have the biggest change in fortunes, good or bad, in 2024?" So this is the sort of question I like. And I saw it when it came in and I haven't prepared for it at
I
all.
need to
So.
clean it now.
There's two that I think could sort of improve. I mean, one of them, everyone who's listened for any length of time can guess one of the teams that I'm going to pick, which is Middlesbrough. They lost a couple more players to injury last night in the League Cup. But with the additions like Ayling and Azaz, I think they're really smart additions. I think they're looking to add a striker as well, which I think would help them a lot, particularly
Yeah.
more of a goal scorer. I think would help them. But I do think they're 4 points off the playoffs. Yes, they're 12th, but they're only 4 points off the playoffs. And I do think, if one team was going to sort of, put it together and make more of a run, like some of the teams have already made their runs almost like to be in contention. One of them that feels like it's slightly slower lower down that could sort of get right in the mix is Middlesbrough for me. The other one that's a bit further down that I think it's just starting to come together for what it means in terms of how good they are going forward, I'm not sure. But Millwall, we were worried at one point about Millwall. I think it feels like it's coming together under the new manager. And so I'm not necessarily saying they're going to push towards the playoffs. But we haven't really looked at Millwall the first half of the season, and I think they might actually come times now where we're actually looking at Millwall players, not least Game Week
Well,
29,
yeah.
but I do think as part of it, they will be a team we're looking at as being a bit more viable, I think.
So, feel bad because they've actually climbed up to eighth now, but I've been very big on Coventry the last few weeks. I think we're starting to see them click with the new formation, Sakamoto and O'Hare. I know there's contract dispute with O'Hare because he's in his last year, but if they keep those two players fit and sign a couple more in, I think they'll get in the playoffs, I think. I'm looking forward to maybe owning one of those two midfielders to start with. I'm going to mention Swansea. I'm not sure how this is going to go, but I think it became obvious that the manager wasn't suited, the previous manager wasn't suited to Swansea. We know the fans love playing a certain style of football, and I think they've now got the right bloke in Luke Williams, who got Notts County promoted, was doing okay with them in League Two, and they play a very, very attacking style of football. So I'm intrigued to look at maybe like a Patterson or their wing fullbacks or Jerry Yates. I think some of those could be ideal if they get a good run of fixtures, I think.
I'm choosing not to be negative, in part because I think it's the particularly in sort of the lower part of the top half, it's so congested that it's anything could happen. But I don't sort of necessarily see any team sort of completely collapsing. I know FPL Frog will want me to predict a small collapse for Norwich so that Wagner gets sacked.
I'm just a little bit worried about Plymouth. It's weird. I think they'll recruit well and they probably will be all right. But they have lost Azaz. They've recently lost the manager Schumacher and they've lost Kundal as well. I think hopefully they will be okay and stay up, which is obviously the aim this year, but that could be an issue, I think.
Potentially. It would be interesting to see. I think, like you say, just replacing those two will be crucial. And if they can do that, with players like Morgan Whittaker, they should be all right. It's just making it's
Yeah,
easy to say.
don't sell him.
It's easy to say, oh yeah, if you replace Kundal and Azaz, but that's a lot
Yeah.
of sort of production out of that team. FPL Frog, what players could you bring in for game week 29 that are also likely to be viable options for Budget Buster in game week 30? PS Wagner out. So I think this is an interesting one, just because there will be number of people who have still got the Budget Buster, and particularly if you've got two, as I said, I think like that's the boost that you have to play. So I think if people are looking at it and sort of just muddling through sort of game week 29, it's the better way to go. So for this one, it's tough because the teams aren't ideal is the first thing to say. For sort of 29 to Budget Bust and 30, we've mentioned one of them. I think Finn Azaz is one that jumps out to me now. He's gone to Middlesbrough, assuming the Middlesbrough game stays in 29, which is obviously an assumption. So it depends on that. But if the Middlesbrough game is in 29, that's an obvious solution. I think, one I would sort of look at. I was putting together what a rough sort of, I was looking at various options from various teams. I'd like keep in mind someone like Ryan Mai from Stoke. I think they're a team that you're probably going to need for something like this. And so someone like him could be a nice option. He's not going to be sort of amazing But it's one that could be nice. And I'm just going to mention, because I feel like I'm contractually obligated to mention, Lyndon Dykes qualifies for Budget Buster and plays in game week 29. So yeah, Lyndon Dykes.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? I'm guessing Sunderland's the one. You can go for Bellingham, who's been playing. They have been playing with, is it Rushin up front?
Yeah.
He did recently get a goal.
They finally got a goal from a striker.
QPR, we all loaded up on QPR, didn't we, defensively?
Yeah,
That didn't work, did it?
if you can get the right defenders, that's an obvious one, I think.
Yeah. It's probably Cannon, isn't it?
I think it
I
is
think it
Cannon.
is. Especially for Budget
Potentially
Buster.
Clark Salter.
Yeah.
The other one to mention, I've got two to mention from Sunderland as you sort of move on. One is Alex Pritchard,
Yes.
but he is 6.4, so you'd have to keep a close eye on that in terms of price rises. But he feels like quite a clear one to me. And I'm also going to mention Aji Elise. He's just come back into the team. He's 4.8 as a result of having been out. So he,
I left back.
yeah. So he's played, I think, the couple since he's come back at left back. So I think he's one to look at as well.
I know that the game's not official yet, but for Birmingham, they do have a lot of assets. Dembele, Jordan James, obviously been playing, and well, he was, but they've got a new manager now.
Yeah.
Stansfield, if he's there, 5-7. So yeah, it's whether you're building the underhaul for 29 or you're trying to link it to Budget Busters, is going to be some interesting options,
Yeah.
which is why this game's entertaining. But you'll end up having stories to tell when Jay Stansfield scores four against Middlesbrough or something,
Well, I mean, it's
that
just
can
like,
happen.
you say, oh yeah, Birmingham players, you don't want them, but of course, because they play Middlesbrough in 29, or if it goes ahead, and West Brom away in 30, but you absolutely know it's going to be the Birmingham player that does something.
Yeah, it's always the random one, like Tom Bradshaw with really hard fixtures getting a hat trick.
Don't know how you could think of that happening.
I mean, because I didn't own him. So.
So yeah, so Janino Bakuna and Lukas Jukovic, those are the ones you want. But yeah, I think it's interesting with some of those fixtures as well, because there aren't necessarily many teams where you look at them and it's like, oh yeah, I want some of that across 29 and 30. Maybe if you could find something from QPR, I think Huddersfield at home and Blackburn away as 29 and 30, if you're trying to link those together, is probably about as good as it gets.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, that's sort of, it's interesting to sort of think about, if you're limiting it to the budget players, what's actually on offer there.
Glad I've played it. Especially if you're paying it in 30, I think.
Yeah. Alexander Chow asked a question about boosts to build towards double game week 33. I saw a couple of people had sort of set him straight about, obviously, these game week 30 is the last week for this set. Ollie Ash has asked, if you're boostless, do you just hope to maintain your rank until the next set of boosts land? Or do you see any opportunities to make gains, e.g., sort of differentials? It's probably a bit of both, because I think you want to cover the key players that everyone's going to go into, particularly in 29, which I don't think is that difficult, because to be honest, the starting point is have Jack Clark.
Yeah, he's my captain, isn't he? Apart from that, I'd try and get maybe Chair or Willock.
Yeah, I'd look for a couple of these opportunities, like whether it's sort of Chera or Willock, whether it's like say someone like Miller from Preston,
I mean,
Fleming, or Tom Bradshaw. Is it Tom Bradshaw time
yeah.
again? Like, you know, that sort of thing.
He hasn't hit his hat trick this year,
yeah.
has he?
So I think it's a balance. You want to make sure you have a couple of the big players covered. For example, if the Borough game drops in, I think Finneyzaz will be another popular one.
Yeah.
So I think really, you know, if you've got sort of Azaz, Clark, and maybe sort of like QPR defender, you can then sort of that you can probably then sort of just punt beyond that. I think
So
is what I would think.
if you don't have a boost or you're not playing the underhaul, would you drastically try and get any of these players in 29, or would you literally just do what you said, try and get the key players? Because
I think Clark is the only one where I think going without Clark in 29, whether you're underhauling or just running through, feels almost just unnecessary, I guess. Like he's sort of the big one. Like otherwise, like even when I'm saying people like Azaz, there will be people that don't have Azaz. Clark is the big one where it's just like, you know, basically everyone's going to have him one way or another, so you might as well just get him in. Like, otherwise, I think it's an opportunity to sort of look at whatever you want. If you have a particular feeling about one of the teams or an element of one of the teams where it's just like, oh yeah, I really like, you know, QPR defence, I really like Sunderland attack, that sort of thing, then you can make your moves based off that. But for me, Jack Clark is the only one where I'm like, yeah, just make sure you have him.
so you've obviously got 3 game weeks before, or 3 transfers, or 4 if you've rolled one. Would you be buying assets just for 29? Because a lot of us are pretty stable on our team and won't have too many issues, I don't think.
I think it depends how it sort of shakes out timing wise, because I think there's some of these that you can get in beforehand, but it's like,
Yeah.
okay, I don't want to do it in 27, I want to do it in 28 or that sort of thing. Like, for example, if you were looking at, say, Millwall defence, do you really want to get them in before they play Middlesbrough? Possibly not. After that, they play QPR in 28 and then Preston in 29. So, like for someone like that, 28 might be your jump-in point. If you see sort of someone like Bradshaw and you're like, oh yeah, I think he can do something against Middlesbrough, then yeah, you might go now. But like, you know, it's just some of those calculations. Like QPR have 3 home games in a row. If you so it might be a case of like, okay, I want to get one of them right away. Sunderland, do you want to get it before they play Ipswich away? Possibly not. So I think it's just working out some of those timings. Maybe you do, like, as in maybe you're just sort of like,
If you don't have Jack Clark, right,
I
is it
think,
really any time to get
yeah,
a
but
bad
like
time to get Jack
someone
Clark
like
in?
Pritchard, for example, if you're
Yeah.
like, oh yeah, I want to get Pritchard or I want to get Bellingham, it might be that actually a game against Ipswich is perfectly fine, but it's just sort of working out for you
Yeah.
how you feel about certain teams, I think. But because it's not
So,
necessarily, you could just leave it
yeah.
till 29 as well.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's going to be interesting because there's not like a massive period to plan for it,
Yeah.
and there's not great teams. Otherwise, we wouldn't be underhauling. Yeah, I'm intrigued. I am looking forward to building my underhaul team, though. I just having like rolling back the years and having Willock and Chair in there and things like
Yeah,
that, Fleming and all that.
I did a draft at the weekend. I'm not going to give away all my good ideas, but it was interesting putting together a squad. And it's even more
No, you.
interesting if we lose the Birmingham Borough game and it's only the 3 games that are there now.
Oh my word! I already know you've got Bradshaw and Dykes up front, and punting one other, probably a Stoke or something. I can see it now.
I mean, you know, it's all the greatest hits, like. But yeah, I do think it's sort of interesting. I think it's interesting, like I say, you know, the way People who aren't underhauling approach it, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think that you can sort of cover it off. There's no guarantee that underhaul is going to be amazing. So I think, it's not necessarily a problem, but it's interesting to see how people approach that. Do you go really safe? Do you actually try and sort of chase those real sort of upside plays? It's interesting. Bears FPL has asked, with two boosts remaining, they've only used Jeepers Keepers, and no players currently playing in game week 29. Is it as simple as follow the leader in game week 27 or 28, followed by underhaul in game week 29? Based on what we said so far, I don't see a mention of Budget Buster there, which I'm not sure, obviously, how well sort of set up you are for it now. That's all obviously the one that I would sort of say always, like, even if you get to it on like seven players, it's worth it. So if you want it, like, depending on the moves you can make, if you wanted to do something like play follow the leader in 27 and then just try and get to like Budget Buster for 30 and just sort of get through 29, that might be the way to go. If you're miles away from Budget Buster and you're just like, I can't do it or whatever, then maybe, you do something else. But I think it's probably worth it even if you can get to about seven.
Agree with that.
Non-stop FPL's asked, general plan for the blank game week? Transfers to minimize players for that week, to maximize players for that week, or just suck it up? So obviously we've said we're both planning to underhaul, but I do think both of those are valid options, whether it's transfers to just try and maximize coverage, or just take the hit. Like, you could just say, I don't want to sell all my sort of players from these teams that are blanking. I'm gonna just have five players and like.
Think five, as long as you've got like Jack Clark, that's
Yeah.
basically it.
Like if you take the approach like, oh yeah, actually I would rather not sell my Leicester or Southampton or Ipswich or whatever, I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea to say, I've got five players, I'm just gonna like run through with those five players, whatever happens, happens. I think that's also fine.
I think if you, because defenders haven't been doing great apart from, like the main
Yeah,
ones.
Peters and Davis and
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
maybe bring in two defenders, two mids and a striker.
Yeah.
I think that'd probably be okay. Like you'd probably go down,
Yeah.
but yeah, like you said, you'll keep Jack Clark. You can bench probably a couple of your defenders, and then the week after, you can get rid of one of the. But even if you have like a chair, is he really gonna, or Willock, are they really terrible, terrible options that you need to get rid of straight away? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's the thing with some of those. It's sort of like actually you can just sort of keep them. It's not sort of a disaster where some of these players, it's like some of these players you'd go for on underhaul are the sort of
Yeah.
players you're like, I wouldn't want to see them again afterwards. Like, FPL Clem has asked, so underhaul in 29 or just leave it and play midfield dynamos instead?
Midfield dynamos in 29,
I assume
or
it's just
just
midfield dynamos another week.
because that's got to be
That would be
trying to
incredible,
think.
midfield dynamos in game week 29.
I mean, it makes me sort of want to play it.
Yeah, sort of get like Chair, Willock, Clark,
Bellingham, Azaz, there you go.
Azaz, yeah. Or
It's not
really
terrible.
go mad, like, Chair, Fleming, Clark, sort of Azaz and one other. But yeah, I mean it wouldn't be the worst, but I assume it's 20 midfield dynamos in another week.
In all seriousness, do you think, say, like midfield dynamos with the five you've just said, I think that would probably be an underhaul score.
Potentially. I'm still a little bit concerned about like QPR attack and whatever, which is part of the problem, right? But
But
it could,
it
like
could.
it absolutely could. But yeah, I think it really depends, as we've said with these others, what your coverage would be for 29 without the underhaul and whether you're happy with that. Particularly if you particularly want to play midfield dynamos, whether you think that balances out enough. I think, you know, I sort of feel like increasingly with 29, there's no right or wrong. Like I think for a lot of people, underhaul is going to be the best play. But it's not sort of like, it's not if you haven't got any boosts, you're screwed without underhaul. Or if you think I can get through 29 and I'd rather play sort of midfield dynamos, that's not necessarily sort of wrong either, I guess. It just sort of depends how you feel and how you can set up. Like if you can get sort of like I say, sort of five, six players in 29 and still be able to play another boost and you're happy with that, then yeah, by all means. Beans piece said, general thoughts on Dean Garner as a long-term hold. Move back to Philogene when fit. Well, Dean Garner's at AFCON, is the slight issue here. So Dean Garner has gone to AFCON, as in he's already gone out there. So he will be gone. Philogene is expected to be back at the end of January. So you're probably going to have to fill the gap with someone else in the meantime. I think at that price, there are plenty of players around, but it is sort of a situation where you're probably going to have to sell, even if you want to ultimately go to Philogene. I think we all know that I'm a bit biased on this or have a lot of thoughts. So I'm going to go to Dan first with this one from AD Talk, which is best borough assets.
Says if he
Yeah.
comes in and starts playing, he's for the price. It's hard. Who's fit? Ailing? I had Jones. He didn't do much until I benched him, and then he got two goals and that assist or something. I know you like Greenwood, don't you, Angus?
Yeah, and I think there's a little bit of a benefit with him in terms of set pieces as well. So I think but I mean, I would still advise to go with Isaiah Jones. I just, you know, I think he's playing well at the moment as well. I actually think someone like Azaz could be good for him as well. So I'd probably look at him, Azaz, like you say. It's tough. I'd like to see how they work defensively. It pains me, but Luke Ayling could be an option, but I'd need to see how it works.
What about Glover? Because he's been doing quite well. He didn't go, obviously, he's not part of the Australian
Yeah.
squad, and he's 4.4, so
So I think
Dieng's
that's
out.
another one for the moment. If you're comfortable with you're probably booking in another goalkeeper transfer in a few weeks, the only thing I'm not sure on with him is Seni Dieng has pulled out of the Senegal squad with injury. I'm not sure that means he'll be out for the whole time he would have been at AFCON, particularly because he's a backup, like he's not the starter for Senegal. It might have been that they were like, actually, let's just get a replacement in who's going to be fit right away. Where, for example, Dieng might only be out for two games and then be back. So that's the one concern I have with Glover, is what if Dieng is back sooner than he would have been?
Wouldn't say Dieng's been amazing this year for Borough. Is there a possibility that Glover just becomes number one?
It's possible, but from what I've seen, I think the expectation is once Dieng is fit, he'll go back in goal.
That's good because I've got Dieng.
So that's the sort of thing that would put me off Glover slightly, just because if we get something that's like, oh yeah, Dieng is going to be out for like, you know, 6 weeks or whatever, then I think Glover does actually become a good option. But otherwise, I think it's a little bit tough. And the other one that's worth mentioning at the moment is Josh Coburn, appears to be the only fit striker at the club. So he could be an option at the moment. Dave RFC 1871 has said, best budget bust a week and options now Plymouth are getting raided. Well, the most important one is actually still at Plymouth in Morgan Whittaker.
Yeah. Oh. Can't believe I must have lost out close to 30 points in about 2 weeks, Angus.
I think any of them, like as in, it really does depend who you've got and how much time you need to build the team. If you can go in 27, go in 27. 28, fine. 30, fine. I mean,
Yeah.
I would say 29, but I can't imagine anyone playing Budget Buster at 29. It would either be the best possible week for it or the worst possible week for it.
Imagine if you go like triple QPR defense and they keep it. That'd be like a nil-nil game.
But yeah, so I think it really does depend how far away you are, because I think any of them are viable at this point. Like you think about some of these teams that you would use, like Birmingham, the games are all equally bad in terms of like there's not necessarily any standout fixtures there. Someone like Huddersfield, who I think people have been looking at a couple of their players. 27, they play Plymouth at home, 28, Blackburn away, 30, Sheffield Wednesday at home. That's all sort of fine. Plymouth, Huddersfield away in 27, Cardiff home in 28, Swansea away in 30. There's a lot of these teams where it's just sort of like, actually, it's sort of equal. It almost just depends which specific teams you're going to use, I think.
Yeah, also defenders have been a nightmare for budget anyway, so you've got to pump one and just hope it's probably not going to work.
And then we finish off with FPL JT, who's actually asked two questions here. So it's thanks for the great pots. Currently have one boost remaining, six budget buster eligible players, but only two for blank game week 29. Also has two free transfers for game week 27. I think I need to forget Budget Buster and just underhaul in 29, particularly as I want everyone I sell back for 33. Or is 8 to 9 Budget Buster players and 7 or 8 in 29 worth it? That sounds great.
Yeah.
If you could play Budget Buster with 8 or 9 and then still have decent coverage for 29, that sounds ideal, really.
Yeah, I think you'd probably do really well with that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of say obviously, it's different. It's difficult. I mean, I'm not sort of saying, oh yeah, I'm amazing, although I did amazingly on the Budget Buster. But like using game week rank one isn't necessarily sort of like representative. But there were a few people that week who got over 200 with sort of 8 or 9 budget players. So I think it shows it can be done. It's not just a one-off. Like I think there were 4 or 5 people who got over 200 with literally with 8 or 9. So I think it shows what the upside is there, which an underhaul, particularly as a contrast, just doesn't have that. So I'd probably be looking at that. And they also ask about whether we expect transfers to be updated before the deadline or in terms of on the site. That's the hope. But
Send it, please.
We're not in control of that, so we can't sort of say for certain, but that is the hope. I was saying to Dan earlier in the week that I keep having to remind myself that Azaz has gone to Middlesbrough when I sort of look at my team.
It's a bit green, isn't it?
But hopefully that will all sort of be updated. But that's all the questions. Obviously, there was about as much of a game week 29 flavor as I was expecting. So that's sort of us and guys on gaffer now that have covered sort of game week 29 and everything. So I think people should be well prepared for that by now. So I don't think we timestamped this at the start, but I'm sure most people saw the tweet in terms of when we were recording it. But just to confirm, this is Wednesday night. It will be out Wednesday night. Deadline is Friday
Friday.
night, Friday evening.
Yeah, Hull Norwich, although I won't be watching it, unfortunately. I'm watching Burnley Luton, which they've moved.
I will be watching Hull Norwich. I can't believe I'm saying that, but that's what I will be watching. I don't think we'll see Fabio Carvalho from the start, unfortunately, but as someone who has a box of Freddos riding on the David Wagner sack date,
I'll put the day after the season finished.
I think early February, so I'm sort of paying keeping a keen eye on
You probably want that to be a draw, Angus. I think
yeah.
keep him in a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think if he loses with the run coming up, it's probably a little bit tough. But yeah, so we will be, I think, probably sort of normal recording after 27, normal Sunday night recording.
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing much.
There's a Sunday game, but it's the lunchtime, so we'll be able to then
Yeah, that should be fine.
record Sunday night. Lovely Sunday lunchtime fixture of QPR Watford. I'm sure everyone will enjoy that
Tell them QPR.
one. So we'll be back on Sunday and we'll sort of return to our sort of regularly scheduled programming. But until then, thank you for listening and goodbye.
Bye.